Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for the 13th, Friday the 13th of May. March 2020. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. It's the end of a very long week. Welcome to the program. It's the Friday interview edition. Welcome to it. Today we sit down, well, technically yesterday I sat down with Joe Concha of The Hill, and you see him on Fox News all the time, about the media and just how god-awful they are in general, both related to coronavirus coverage and the presidential primary, and just in general. God, these people. So we'll get to that in a bit. And let me just tell you, I want to thank you all for the emails yesterday about the vulgarity-laced episode of the program. It seemed warranted, and I've got to tell you, there is going to be a lot more slip-ups and use of punctuation of F-bombs and whatever else you got, because these motherfuckers are just getting worse by the day. I thought maybe they'd plateau. I thought sooner or later, Democrats have to hit bottom, don't they? But no, they don't. They won't. They can't. There is no bottom. When a leftist hits bottom, they grab a damn shovel and they start digging, and they say, I can go deeper. Michelle Obama's bullshit line about, when they go low, we go high. Bullshit. You people are the biggest frauds I've ever seen in my entire life. That's all they do is go low. That's all they know is going low, because the truth doesn't help them in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, when maybe I'll try and limit it to one particular day a week, like No Fucks Given Thursday or something like that. But there has to be some letting loose in the colorful language and colorful metaphors that these piles of human shit absolutely deserve. And none of the other ones do it. I don't know. I heard emails. Once, don't listen to Shapiro today, because I can only imagine. I don't listen any day. I've never listened. But I can only imagine that it's, you know, hedging bets and criticism. Look, if you're only concerned about looking good at the end of it, then you're going to hedge your bets. You're going to play the middle. But sometimes, damn it, lines are worth drawing and lines are worth keeping. And if you end up on the losing side, but you were right, that's got to be enough. I'm content with that. And then, like, if you want to go all Russian conspiracy, I guess you can go get that too. There's a podcast for everyone. This one is about what happens that given day, not what will sell more of my shit to you, because I don't have shit to sell to you, except for my book. And you get that pretty cheap on Amazon. All right. Let's talk about our sponsor first, because we do got to pay the bills. Of course, it's ancientlifeoil.com, and get the tea from ancientlifeoil.com. Oh, and all this time we were hoarding water. Why don't you make that water work for you, huh? Drink water. Drink lots of water. But one cup a day should be a nice brewed cup of Get the Tea, of Life Change Tea from getthetea.com. It keeps you regular. And this time we should send it, everybody should order some and just send it to their favorite Democrat, because they're absolutely full of shit. They need this. But you need this too, because it will help clean you out and allow your body to absorb the nutrients from the food that you eat, more of the nutrients of the food that you eat. And there's less nutrients in our food, so Lord knows we need that. Go to getthetea.com, all one word. Check out all their fine products. Enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout, and you get special discounts just for you guys. It lets them know that you're listening and helping the show and helping the sponsors that help the show and all that. It's a circle of life, or whatever that shitty song is from the Disney movie. Can't remember. Getthetea.com, promo code Derek. Great savings for you, great products for you. It's win-win for you, quite frankly. Okay, this is normally a shorter show, and it will end up being probably a shorter show, but I just am watching this show, and I'm like, damn it, why do we even have... Like, I could do an hour on any one of these audio clips and any one of these tweets that these idiots put out on a daily basis. The Democrats are fundraising off of coronavirus. Joe Biden, who's up there giving... Bernie and Joe both gave their speeches today, this make-believe I'm president speech that they tried to pull. Joe is senile and absolutely 100% dependent. Heroin users are not as dependent on smack as Joe Biden is on a teleprompter, as he was on his teleprompter. These morons on the left were like, oh my God, it was such a presidential speech. It was so wonderful. Asha Rangappa, whatever the fuck her name is, who is a former FBI agent and CNN legal analyst or whatever she is, who cares? She tweeted out, quote, Biden is not reading from a teleprompter. His voice modulates, and he's not a sedated zombie. He understands the problem. He actually cares. Now, how stupid... You're either a stupid or a liar. Adam Carolla has this thing. Someone like this, you're either stupid or a liar. There's no other choice. She's either stupid or a liar. I think that she's a liar, but I also think she's stupid. I think she's stupid in general, but on this one, she's a liar because... He was reading directly from a teleprompter. It was in the shot. There are pictures of it, still frames from it. When he walks off the stage without taking any questions, which probably just got the biggest sigh of relief from his staff that he didn't try to take any questions, he walked through the glass reflecting of the teleprompter. How the fuck do you not see the teleprompter? So I assume she's lying. And this is what you get from a paid CNN contributor. Even if you couldn't see the teleprompters in the shot, even if you couldn't see them as he walked off, even if you didn't notice in every single still frame photograph that was jetting around the internet and all the people who responded to her saying, here are the teleprompters, and they circled them out like they're John Madden on Thanksgiving Day. Even if all of that, if you watch the damn speech, Joe Biden's eyes are going back from left to right to left to right to left. He never once looks straight at the camera for more than a second while his eyes travel from left to right. Right teleprompter, left teleprompter. Unless he's giving this speech in the middle of watching Wimbledon from half court or center court or whatever the hell it's called, and he's literally watching a tennis match, he's going back and forth to a teleprompter. He still had problems with some of the big words. But you have to be a special kind of stupid or an evil kind of liar to have watched that and go, oh, Biden is not reading from a teleprompter. Yes, he is. When was the last time this guy strung together a coherent sentence without reading it from a teleprompter or from a note card? Ask yourself that, Asha Rangappa Goopa, whatever. These people are shameless. They need to not only be beaten, they need to be destroyed. I don't even want to live in a country with these people anymore. They are so disgusting. They really are vile and disgusting people. So let's listen to Karl Rove here. I'm gonna cram in as much of this audio as I can. I want to get you to the interview because it's a good interview and Joe Concha is a fun guest. And I did it from home. I did it via Skype. This is the first one I've recorded myself, and I did it with a microphone that a listener sent in, so thank you for that. It sounds much better than regular Skype and mic on my computer. But Rove was on Fox last night blasting Democrats, not just Joe Biden, but the Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee for fundraising off of the fucking coronavirus. How you're scaring the shit out of people who are all going to die. I went to I had to go deal with the car I traded in. I had to go drop off the title. That's a whole nother nightmare. These morons. Oh, now we need this. Just tell me everything you need, you jackass. I don't want to keep making trips out here because you don't know how to pull your head out of your ass. But there's a Costco near there, so I thought I'd swing by Costco to get something for dinner. Didn't even try. The parking lot was so full. It was overflowing that people were parked everywhere. There was a sign that says, do not park here, no parking here ever. And I said, well, screw this. Drove right through, hopped up, decided to go to the Costco near my house, get in there. They had toilet paper this time, and apparently word had leaked out. So they were all just clamoring around. Everybody had their maximum of two toilet paper, maximum of two things of water. It was a freaking nightmare. I just left again. I'm like, I don't need either one of those things. I'm going to go to the grocery store. Go to the grocery store. They had no toilet paper. I assume by the time I would have gotten back to where the toilet paper was, even if I wanted toilet paper at Costco, it would have been gone. People were going absolutely apeshit over toilet paper. If you run out of toilet paper, first of all, you got bigger problems. You'll probably run out of food before you run out of toilet paper. If your whole pantry is toilet paper and not food, you're doing it wrong. Unless you can eat toilet paper, I don't know you can. I don't know you can't, but I'm pretty sure you can't. Then you're probably not going to need toilet paper by the time it gets to that point and you get through the 80 roll packs that you just bought at Costco. There were literally people just buying toilet paper and water. Like, yeah, you'll pee for days and fart, maybe. Now you probably won't even do that. Nothing's coming out the other end, except maybe your head every once in a while to go, why didn't I buy canned food? So anyway, it was an absolute mess. So I go to the grocery store, and they're completely out of toilet paper. They're almost out of soup. The Democratic industrial complex is scaring the living shit out of people for political advantage, and people are falling for it. And if this thing, almost at this point, if it isn't carnage, there's going to be hell to pay for the people who scared the shit out of all these people. Because keep in mind, we're a nation of 330 million people. I don't want to downplay this. Take precautions. Wash your hands. Keep a distance. There's no reason to chest bump anybody or anything like that. But we're in a nation of 330 million people. And what are we at? 37, 39 deaths, something like that? 26 or 27 of which, maybe it was even 29 of which, all happened in one nursing home in the state of Washington? All of them? It swept through there, the most vulnerable of the most vulnerable, sad death, every single one of them. But let's keep it into some perspective. The Reuters had a story of how more than 70,000 Americans have fully recovered from coronavirus. Have you heard that mentioned? Do you ever hear the death toll? No, you hear the number of cases resulted, number of cases passed 1,000 today. The number of cases is up to 1,400. Things keep getting worse. Well, and I mean this with all due respect and sincerity, but who gives a shit who catches it if the people are recovering? To be honest with you, yeah, it's no fun from what we hear. It's a very severe flu, and that's no good. And some people do require medical treatment, but not nearly all of them. More than 60% of them, according to the data available thus far, have, you know, manageable symptoms, meaning they don't even need to seek medical treatment. They need to take anti-fever medication. Maybe they have to step into a cooler shower to cool down their bodies every once in a while. But in general, they have a week to 10 days of feeling like crap. Some people a lot less. A very severe flu. It's more contagious than the flu. It's worse than the flu. Yes, and especially if you have underlying medical conditions. But at the end of the day, when you're looking at a nation of 330 million people with 1,400 reported cases and less than 40 deaths, that last part should be reported regularly to try to calm people down. But there's no political points to be scored by calming people down right now. None whatsoever. So you're not going to hear an anchor on the broadcast networks or an anchor on cable news. Put it in perspective. Dangerous? Yes. Take precautions? Absolutely. Dig a bunker in your backyard? You probably don't need to do that. Be smart. Now, if you can't be smart, well, you're going to vote Democrat anyway, so who cares? So listen to Karl Rove blast these people, because he does it in a non-obscenity-laced way, about them fundraising off of the fear, the terror that they are instilling in the American people.
This is unbelievable what Joe Biden did. Here's the front page of his emailer. His email he sent out about 7:40 p.m. tonight. He says, this is a long one. Here's the speech I gave this afternoon. This is a long email, but I hope you will read it all the way through and forward this to family and friends. And then here's the final page. The final page has a donate to Joe Biden button on it. He's raising money off of this. In fact, here's exactly what it says at the end. That piece of paper is pretty small, but this is what it says. This isn't the time to be complacent. If you're ready to fight for the soul of this nation, you can start by donating to elect Joe Biden by clicking the button below, donate to elect Joe Biden. The man is raising money off of the coronavirus challenge facing our country. And does he have no shame? Is there no decency that says, you know what, there's some moments when we shouldn't be taking things and using them for crass political purposes to raise money? He's using it for prospecting. And he's not the only Democrat doing this. 30 minutes after that, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee sent out one saying, breaking, Senate GOP blocks emergency paid sick leave bill from moving forward. It just arrived this afternoon. It was passed by the House this afternoon, arrived the evening at the Senate, and at 8:10 p.m. Eastern Time, they're sending out a prospecting piece asking people to let them know how they feel about it and to support Democrats for the United States Senate. I mean, have these people no sense of decency? Can we not step away from this for just a minute and not politicize everything?
Can we not politicize everything? No, Democrats must politicize everything. A school shooting, they're right there. They've got their fundraising ready to go out. They've got their organizing ready to come in. They're going to get the students that agree with them, and they're going to take a big shit on the students that don't. They're going to pretend the students who don't agree with them don't exist. That's the way the left works. And then they're going to claim the moral high ground. The moral high ground, which is piled up bodies of the people they leave in their wake. That's the high ground to them. They are sick, sick people. Bernie Sanders gave a speech too. Bernie Sanders was at least semi-coherent, full of shit, but semi-coherent. He sauntered up to the microphone and he was able to string together a sentence or two that made sense insofar as the words went together in a way and he understood them. He's just crazy. Joe Biden just isn't there. He's just an empty vessel. Joe Biden's speech is like highlighting a Word document and having your computer read it to you. There's no point to it. There's no soul there. The eyes are vacant. He is vacant. His words are vacant. You get the sense he understands maybe 30, 35% of the words he's reading from the teleprompter. Bernie Sanders is equally as terrifying, but that's only because he understands every word he's saying. Bernie Sanders was just as full of shit, though. You gotta love it. Yesterday, the President of the United States called for unity last night, and now today he's out there criticizing. I'll have more to say about that in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. Listen to Bernie Sanders not try to instill calm, as a leader theoretically should, right? As the president tried to do, but try to scare the ever-loving shit out of people by saying that we can expect more dead than from World War II. Unbelievable. Listen to him.
In terms of potential deaths, and in terms of the economic impact on our economy, the crisis we face from the coronavirus is on a scale of a major war, and we must act accordingly. Nobody knows what the number of fatalities may end up being, or the number of people who may get ill, and we all hope that that number will be as low as possible. But we also have to face the truth, and that is that the number of casualties may actually be even higher than what the armed forces experienced in World War II. In other words, we have a major, major crisis, and we must act accordingly.
Nobody knows. Nobody has any idea. But fuck it. I'm going to throw out a huge number out there. More than 500,000 American troops died in World War II. We're sitting below 40, but to hell with it. It could be 500,000, could be 1,000,000, could be everybody. We don't know. That's why you must vote for me. And you want to talk about a special kind of evil? That's a special kind of evil there. We need to act responsibly. We need to instill calm. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but you're probably going to die. So make sure you get your absentee ballot for the general election and you write in Bernie Sanders. I flush daily things with more class than Bernie Sanders. I flush daily things with more class than just about anybody in the media, and so do you. And I even say that to vegans, because something comes out of there. And it's even got more class and more intelligence and more decency than your average liberal on the face of the earth. They're still wetting themselves. Joe Biden in his speech said again that it's inappropriate to call this a foreign virus because that's xenophobic. What the fuck is wrong with you? Really? You're not taking this seriously. If you're worried about the social implications of calling it a foreign virus, oh no, that means you're senile or you're stupid or you're both. And it's probably both with all of these people. So again, yesterday I played you a nice little montage put together, I think it was by the Washington Free Beacon, of the idiots in the media talking about the coronavirus or as the China virus and the Wuhan virus. The Media Research Center did a deeper dive. I told you the whole show yesterday could have been just a montage of Democrats being hypocrites on this issue. And the reason I'm swearing less or modulating my voice is Quinn is running around here, and so I don't really want to swear all that much. She's closing the door on me. Quinn, come here for a second. Quinn, come here. You want to say hello to everybody?
What does Hypocast be good at Romeo, good at Ella, and get go to Gap Boy, and get go Ella?
Do you wash your hands?
Yeah, I got my good wash your hands.
That's right. And scrub your hands.
Yeah, scrub, scrub, scrub.
That's right. Okay, now go out of the room so Daddy can swear more about liberals. Thank you. Yes, these people are a special level of fucking evil. The Media Research Center put together, I'm Father of the Year, what can I say? I wait till my daughter barely steps out of the room before I start flinging F-bombs around. But I can't control myself, so probably for a while there's going to be a lot more swearing in these shows because A, nobody bitched about it, and B, these people, they deserve it. And it just, God. Listen to this montage of even more media morons. It's interspersed with liberals saying this is xenophobic to say for... Where the fuck did it come from, okay? I realize that you guys wish that we were a communist country, but we aren't a communist country yet. Therefore, China is foreign. I know you don't like borders, but you know what? How about you go outside of ours? If you think this country sucks so much ass, go live someplace else and show the world how it's done. You've already got utopia everywhere but here, apparently. So why would you stay here? If everything I wanted was someplace else and nothing I wanted was here, I sure as shit wouldn't stay here. Oh, we must fight to change here. Why? You've got everything you want. The rest of the world doesn't have conservatives trying to stop you from imposing your socialistic utopia on them. They've already got it. They're all living arm in arm, singing kumbaya and forming drum circles. So go live with them if you think it's so great. I notice they're not. And if you notice, there won't be any liberals rushing off to Cuba to get treatment for coronavirus should they come down with it. If Michael Moore comes down with it, if he eats a bad ham hock or something, he's not going to go rushing off to Cuba or North Korea to get his treatment. He won't go to China. Can't tell me that guy didn't eat a dog. He's not going to go to China for his health care. He's going to go to the University of Michigan Medical Center or something like that. Because he's a fucking hypocritical piece of shit with a gravitational pull. Anyway, I'm straying. He's actually in this montage, I believe. Let's listen to yet another montage of these hypocrites committing what they now declare an act of racism and xenophobia simply because Republicans repeated their own words.
This is all happening at a time that we're starting to see a message shift here, because you're starting to hear the Republicans, especially Trump Co., calling it the Wuhan or the Chinese coronavirus. They're looking for someone to blame.
Concern is growing this morning over an outbreak of a new SARS-like virus in China. At least six people have died from the Wuhan coronavirus.
The 34-year-old ophthalmologist diagnosed Saturday with the Wuhan coronavirus.
What more can you tell us about the similarities or differences between SARS and the Wuhan coronavirus?
Fears continue to grow over the outbreak of the Wuhan coronavirus.
We have new information about how the Wuhan coronavirus is spread.
Tying coronavirus to China and Chinese people isn't just a racist dog whistle. It's a whole racist orchestra. It's a mighty, mighty racist bass tone.
I hear Stephen Miller in this foreign virus setting up travel bans for the outside invasion of the disease. That's not the way.
The Chinese coronavirus
The
first U.S. case of Chinese coronavirus.
This is coming as the Chinese coronavirus. The death toll nearly doubles in China's coronavirus outbreak.
Just how bad is China's coronavirus crisis?
Concerns about the China coronavirus.
It's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia, to use that kind of term.
All of those people should eat a giant bag of dicks, only choking to death on the last dick. These people are such flaming hypocrites. If this is so serious, maybe you should take it seriously. Just a thought, eh? Just a thought. You know, it's just crazy. We have one more bit of audio of MSNBC, an MSNBC reporter, getting sexually aroused at the prospect of the Biden campaign getting a gift. My God, this is just sick they're repulsive human beings. I mean, I can't express that enough. To be honest with you, I cannot express that enough. And this montage, of course, he praises the Obama-Biden response to the H1N1 virus. Well, it's kind of interesting that H1N1 virus praise that they're getting because, well, the death toll to that was pretty damn high when you get down to it. They don't want to talk about that, and I don't remember any kind of coverage like this related to the H1N1 virus. Do you? Do you remember the hyperventilating psychobabble that they spew? So we'll get to all of that. I'll get to that audio, and then we'll get to the Joe Concha audio interview in just a second. But we have a second sponsor today. It is, of course, DoorDash. DoorDash, you want to use it this weekend, trust me. It's such a great service, and it's one of those ideas where you sit there and you smack yourself in the head going, why didn't I think of that? DoorDash, yes, you have a long day at work or long week at work or school or whatever. If your school is still open or you just don't want to go out and mix and mingle, you want to do your social distancing exercises this weekend, but you still want to enjoy some delicious restaurant food. That's where DoorDash comes in. They connect you to your favorite restaurant in your city. Ordering is easy. You download the DoorDash app. You choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Now, it's not just some pizza joint that sends you greasy, horrible food, although they have that, too. And if you've been drinking, that tastes great. They have over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities. So you're going to find a new favorite if you branch out a little. They have door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada. That's right, Canucks. You don't have hockey to watch, but you can have food brought to your house and watch old tapes of Wayne Gretzky's glory days and pretend, drink yourself into pretending that it's happening live. Order your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, the Cheesecake Factory. You don't have to worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you. Or try something new. Live a little. Say, hey, I've never had this kind of food. Or you can make a liberal happy and order Chinese food. Because Chinese food is good. Right now, though, again, if you download the DoorDash app and you enter promo code CALLER, you get $5 off your first order of $15 or more. $5 off your first order of $15 or more right there off the top. So if you only order $15 worth of food, doing the math in my head, that's 33% off your first order. That's almost a third. Don't check my math on that. That's right. $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and you enter promo code CALLER. Don't forget that that's promo code CALLER for $5 off your first order. And get some delicious food brought to your house. Cooking's for suckers on the weekends, man. Kick back, Netflix, and chill with some great local fare. You can't beat it. Okay, let's get to this fucking moron on MSNBC. His name, I've never heard of him, Mike Mimoli. He must be from like the C team dispatched out to places where they don't want to risk the people they actually give a shit about getting sick. So they send these people out, the disposables out on the campaign trail. Listen to him describe Joe Biden's speech. By the way, before Joe Biden gives it, he's speculating about what he heard from the campaign. But that's news now because news is worthless. And listen to the way he frames it and the context he gives it.
Yeah, Casey, when the former vice president addressed briefly the coronavirus in his election night remarks on Tuesday, he called this a presidential moment. But as you indicate, I don't think the Biden campaign could have expected that the White House, that President Trump would essentially gift wrap them such an opportunity when they scheduled this remarks to do what they've been really wanting to do for this entire campaign, which is offer voters a really side-by-side comparison of the type of presidential leadership Joe Biden would offer and has experienced in the White House for 8 years himself versus what we see from President Trump. A Biden campaign aide telling me today that this speech will be presidential, not political.
This speech will be presidential, not political, read strictly off a teleprompter because Joe has brain damage from multiple strokes and doesn't know where he is half the time. He's told that he will be in the fish aisle of a pet supply store and he will be talking to the fishies. So pay no attention to him if he pretends to tap glass. That's what his staff told me. But the important part there, aside from all the bullshit about, oh my God, he didn't expect a gift from the Trump administration like this. Again, these sick, sick people. Was he's going to want people to draw a contrast between the way that Trump is handling coronavirus and the way that the Obama Biden administration handled the H1N1 swine flu outbreak. Okay, let's compare and contrast the two, shall we? We are sitting at less than 40 deaths, each one tragic, but less than 40. The Centers for Disease Control, on the other hand, back in 2010, it seems like forever ago, but it was only a decade ago, that Joe Biden was involved with the team that was trying to handle the last pandemic. Now, Joe Biden wants you to think that the way they handled the last pandemic was so much better than the way this one is being handled. So again, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimate that the swine flu infected nearly 61 million people in the United States. 61 million people in the United States. That is a very large percentage of the population of the United States. Do you remember one-tenth the breathless media coverage that we're getting here? And do you remember any of that coverage whatsoever blaming the administration for how it handled it? You do not, because it did not happen. But here's the kicker. Joe Biden wants to draw a contrast. Okay, as of now, we've got about less than 40 dead, as I said. The Centers for Disease Control estimates that the swine flu, the H1N1 virus, caused 12,469 deaths in the United States. In the United States. Now, do you hear that number? Have you heard that number at all, anywhere mentioned in all the glowing coverage as the so-called journalists line up to perform fellatio on Joe Biden for his presidential speech? My God, he didn't even read it off a teleprompter as he's reading it off a fucking teleprompter. I guess you can't see the teleprompter when you're down on your knees inside the podium. Maybe that's what she was talking about. Yeah, nearly 13,000 Americans died from the swine flu. Was there one bit of coverage about how the Obama administration is mishandling and bungling this and how many deaths could have been prevented? Why is there testing? Is there quarantining? What's going on? Do you remember any of that? It's 10 years ago, not 100 years ago, 10 years ago. You don't remember any of it because none of it happened. None of it was covered this way because Barack Obama was a Democrat. Barack Obama was a historic Democrat, but he would have gotten the same treatment had he just been a Democrat, a run-of-the-mill Democrat. But they loved him special, and he could do no wrong, even while 12,469 Americans died. Did Republicans run around saying, my God, this administration is causing the deaths of thousands of Americans through their mishandling of the swine flu? No, they did not. Why didn't they do that? Because they're not assholes. That's why. Democrats are assholes. If you got a problem with me with that, take it up with science, because that's science, not me. That is all the time we have because we got to get to the Joe Concha interview. There's no F-bombs in the Joe Concha interview, but there is some bullshit, and I believe an asshole joke. So you've got that to look forward to. I appreciate the hell out of you listening and tolerating my obscenities, but these people, God, I want them to leave my country alone. They hate it. Why would they stay? If I lived in Canada, I'd get the hell out. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. You can enter to win the Church of Cowards interview. If you want to subsidize the lost listenership from the swearing, it's patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast, or you can just send me messages through there too. There's so many ways to, I've got like four email addresses and they're all being lit. I don't know how you people find my email addresses, but you find them and you send me emails and I appreciate it. And I try to respond to everyone I can, but some days I'm overwhelmed. And yesterday was one of those days when I got so many emails. So thank you for that. It's always nice to know that people are listening, and it's nice to know that you're with me even when I go off the rails like this. But I've been keeping it in for a while, and these fuckers deserve every last bit of it. And worse. I mean, these are only words. They deserve much, much worse. Anyway. Without any further ado, have a great weekend. Do the DoorDash thing. Try something new a little and save $5. And if you already downloaded it before and you can't get the $5 anymore, I'm pretty sure, I can't vouch for it. But if you delete it, download it again, and sign up with a different email address, it'll probably work again, I think. Check it out anyway. I hope it works. Otherwise, it's only $5. Have a great weekend. Have some great food. Have some fun. Watch some movies, Netflix, and chill. And if you can, go out for a walk at least. Shouldn't stay cooped up all weekend. And be back here on Monday. We should have a debate on Sunday, provided the Democratic establishment doesn't find a way to cancel it in the name of compassion or some other such bullshit. And yeah, we'll have all the analysis. Here's Quinn. Quinn, say goodbye to everybody.
Get it frozen too. Get it frozen outside on it and get it frozen.
That's not goodbye. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Here's Joe Concha.
Cast the Friday video edition. As we do every Friday, we bring somebody into our lives, and this time is no different, except that I'm doing it from my home because we're all under self-quarantine. Not really. but sort of. We're joined this week by returning champion and multiple-time guest here on the show, Joe Concha from The Hill. He's the media reporter there. How you doing, Joe?
I guess I'm quarantined also, even though I always worked from home. So this is not a strange thing. But now I just realize I have a background and a shirt that kind of match, and it looks kind of weird. But maybe this will be entertaining to some people on some level.
You're making me feel weirdly Canadian. You're so American. And I grew up across the river from Canada. It makes me feel gross inside. But I dig it. You got the Michael Ruzzioni jacket and or jersey and the American flag. Ruzzioni just came out with his biography. And I have a signed copy of it. So
that's right. Didn't he wear a Make America Great Again hat? And then everybody yelled at him for doing it because, that's a big no-no.
It's amazing. We were out of problems until about 2 weeks ago that we could obsess on stupid things like that. But now we're overloaded with problems. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because I think first and foremost, the biggest problem that we have is that we have nowhere to turn for reliable information. We have no media that is trustworthy. You go to see last night after the president spoke, I went to CNN out of morbid curiosity, and they did have Sanjay Gupta on, but then they also had Jim Acosta and David Gregory. David Gregory doesn't make any sense. At least Acosta was at the White House, as hacky as he is. Rachel Maddow was doing her usual monologue. You can't get just straight information anymore. And this is the problem with the state of journalism, which you follow as a profession, that there is no more reliable, unbiased source anymore for anything.
Boy, that sucks, huh? You really brought things back down to earth. You know, actually, who has been as objective and as measured and kind of ahead of the curve on this one without completely doing it just for, what I've been saying on the air lately, which is a panic for profit. And I'm not saying this because you're a Daily Caller guy. Tucker Carlson, on his show for weeks, has been saying that we are not talking about this enough. We're not taking this seriously enough. He called out our leaders for falling short on that. And it kind of went against the grain of what some other folks were saying about coronavirus. But it turns out perhaps that he's right. But to your point, though, it is hard to know what's real and what isn't, what the good information is. I think Dr. Anthony Fauci, at least, has been a straight shooter as well in terms of, okay, this is what's we're doing right. This is where we're falling short, particularly in terms of the testing. And this is where we think we'll be. But every time, Derek, I go back to, and I get this is going to get bigger, but I don't know how much bigger is the death toll. I look at it every day and it's at 38, it's at 39. And this has been in the news in terms of U.S. cases for over a month. And I get that more cases are now going to happen. But it seems like most people are getting this and they're fine. And those who are dying are mostly in Washington state, almost all elderly and almost all with pre-existing conditions. So to your point, I think that needs to be stressed a heck of a lot more. And then the ways you can prevent yourself from getting these sort of things, obviously avoid large crowds, which you can't even go to a place with a large crowd anymore. Everything has been canceled. But, the washing of the hands and singing happy birthday twice and so on. So, yeah, it's no longer like you could put on the nightly news and there's Cronkite and you say, all right, I trust that guy. There aren't any anchors anymore. It's just either opinion people or anchors that give their opinions.
And that's the thing. You're right. The death toll as of this recording is 39. And each one of them is horrible. But I believe 24 or 26 of them happened in one single nursing home up in the state of Washington. Yeah. So in the grand scheme of things, the population of the nursing home is obviously elderly, likely having other existing medical conditions. That is not really being conveyed. The number isn't being reported. It's the number of cases, 1,400. It's growing every single day. Yeah. What isn't growing as fast as the cases is the number of deaths. And I think that's because, and you work in this industry and you've worked in this industry longer than I have, and the idea is saying that only 39 people have died, and if you remove the state of Washington, next to no one has died, how's that going to get clicks? Who's going to tune in at 11 to see a report on all is well? We've always sort of joked about this as a society that, sensationalism, it bleeds, it leads. But I can't remember a more stark example of it than this, where they have good news they could convey that they're literally ignoring because, well, for any number of reasons. I'd be curious to know your reasons as to why you think that number. You have to Google it to find out the number of coronavirus deaths. It doesn't snap to mind. The number of cases, you probably have.
cases spread to more states, declaration of state of emergency. That's a big one. Or even, I think it was Governor Cuomo just a couple of days ago when he said that New York State had a declaration of emergency. He says, well, it sounds worse than it really is, and people shouldn't panic, right? Because it's about getting resources in and preparing for it. But it sounds
hard. Being able to move money around quickly.
Yeah, the president is declaring a disaster, right? And that's a disaster. But then I go back to the death toll. Yeah, you're exactly right about that. So, and then this context is never provided as well. And you get killed on Twitter for even bringing this up. I mean, there's a whole mob out there that really doesn't like this number. In 2018, just the winter, the flu season, okay, 80,000 people in this country died of the flu. And people say, you can't compare this to the flu. It's more contagious. I get that. But is it really more lethal? I heard Dr. Fauci say that it's 10 times more lethal, but then I need more context around that. 10 times more lethal to whom? To those who have pneumonia, to those who have poor immune systems, or to regular people? And why aren't children getting this? I mean, that's what's remarkable. And I think that that's missing the narrative also. Like, how could you have this flu that I if you heard about child cases, I mean, that would dominate the news, and rightly so, because that really tugs at heartstrings. You have kids, I have kids. Haven't heard a thing about that. So, yeah, the unknowns, I think, is where the fear comes from. And then obviously you see what the stock market's doing. But I wonder where we're going to be 2 months from now in terms of that death toll. Is it going to be around that 80,000 number of the flu, or are we going to be in the hundreds? And then what can you compare hundreds of deaths to in terms of illness to anything else that happens in life in terms of car crashes or whatever? That's the thing. I have a feeling it's going to be the latter, Derek. And I know I shouldn't speculate, but I'm just looking at pace right now and I just don't see it.
That's the thing, though. You look back at the news, and I keep bringing it back to this profession because it was so important. Journalism has the potential to be wildly important. There just aren't any practitioners of it anymore. And when you look at CNN, you look at MSNBC, you even look at Fox. I don't want to load to badmouth Fox, and I know you probably don't want to either, but you don't get the information except for on Tucker's show that would be helpful. You get cheerleading or crowd ramping up. And at a time like this, it's never been a more important profession. So is there, you mentioned Tucker, but in general, in print, are you seeing anything different? Because we've spent this week, rather than talking about the facts of the virus, we've spent this week whether or not calling it a foreign virus is racist, whether or not referring to it as the China virus or the Wuhan virus is racist. To my mind, if we have time to obsess on bullshit like that, then frankly, the problem is being oversold, and the people who are making the fuss know it, because no real serious human being would spend a second of energy on a Kevin McCarthy tweet referring to the China virus if they thought it really was the number one public health threat we've faced since the Spanish flu.
Right, but particularly when you could fact check it so easily, right? So when Jim Acosta, who is, again, not an opinion guy, you would think he is the chief White House correspondent for CNN. And when he says that the president calling it a foreign virus smacks of xenophobia, and then you just go back and you find it like in about 8 seconds. Like
him tweeting about it.
I believe I did tweet about that. That's right. Where he called it the Wuhan virus. Then, gee, you're a hypocrite, right? And then even Joe Biden's response today was largely based on the fact where he says, you know, we really shouldn't bring xenophobia into this. And he is now feeding off of Acosta, which is a very scary thing. And now we're all going around what we define this virus as, or what we can call it and not call it. And we miss the important facts, like an AP story that came out today. And yes, it is out there. But to your point, you got to Google it to a certain extent, because it's not exactly front page news. 70,000 people have recovered from coronavirus. Wow, that's a pretty big number, right? And then there are stories out there where people just say, yeah, I felt this way. It kind of came on suddenly and it left suddenly. I'd love to read and hear more about that. I'd like to see those people more in prime time as a guide so I could have a better peace of mind, or for my family. That would make a heck of a lot more sense. But yeah, look, I think Fox News on their news side, they are the only of the three cable news networks. And again, I get them on there, but don't think I'm not going to criticize them, because God knows I have before. their news side, at least you could tell what the news side is. I know Chris Wallace right. is the news side, and I know Brett Baer is the news side. He's even having Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on, which I never thought I'd see. And then I know what the opinion side is, Tucker and Hannity and Laura and so on. On the other channels, the anchors, the people that are labeled anchors are Anderson Cooper, Chris Cuomo, and yes, Don Lemon are called anchors on that network instead of opinion or pundits. And that's where it all gets fuzzy. Or Rachel Maddow does debates where that would be like Hannity doing a debate. Like, no, you don't allow the opinion people to do that. Or Brian Williams or Nicole Wallace is actually called an anchor, if you could actually believe that. So, yeah, that's where it all gets fuzzy with the titles. And we should just instead, if MSNBC and CNN just made themselves opinion networks, I would just probably not even really criticize them anymore, because I know it's just opinions and they're like assholes and everybody has one. I'm so glad I could
say that.
This is very liberating.
I know. Yesterday, I went full-blown F-bomb. I dropped like 50 of them, but I warned everybody in advance. Speaking of assholes, so I'm down here in Maryland. I went to Costco today. So I'm going to go get some stuff for dinner. I know. Your eyes bugged out. Like, what were you thinking? And that was what I realized, and I left. I didn't even bother trying. They actually had toilet paper, finally. This is like the third time I've gone there where they had toilet paper. I couldn't get near it. I couldn't get near it, but the carts were everywhere. But are you seeing this down or up in New Jersey like we are here? Because I went to the grocery store after that because I still needed to get something for dinner. And there was no toilet paper at the grocery store either.
I'm looking at my phone right now, again, because I'm doing this interview so I can do things I normally can't do on the air. My wife, ShopRite, pure insanity. It's like the apocalypse is coming. That's a quote from my wife that was at the ShopRite before. It's a big ShopRite. They just built it. So she stocked up. And then as for the TP, Derek, I got that, believe it or not, on Amazon. And it was available. It wasn't the number one brand, so to speak. But it's probably sandpaper to a certain extent. But I got it, and it's coming tomorrow. So a little advice for you. So, yeah,
so everybody's
reacting like a big thing is coming. And they probably should, because so many things are going to be shut down. And maybe just on the air, that's what people are confusing, I think, here. Is it erring on the side of caution so we don't spread this thing even more? Or is it because there actually is going to be a big wave of death and horrible things happening? I think it's the former, and everybody's preparing for it, because we're a spoiled society, right? I mean, we're used to just instant gratification. Click, it comes, whether it be Amazon, eBay, you go to the store, always fully stocked. Now this is going to be a test of some people, and particularly gamblers, because now you can't bet on anything. It's remarkable. No basketball, nothing, just golf.
That's not true. I've been betting and doing quite well on the Democratic primary on predictit.org. Big money, but I have been making money. If Jeff Sessions wins, let's just say if he wins the primary, I'm going to be sitting pretty.
Biden though? Because I've been predicting, and I don't mind saying when I'm wrong.
I took Bernie in North Dakota. I took Bernie in a couple of states that he won. I took Biden in North Carolina way early. So that one paid off.
Good odds. I thought he had no shot at the nomination. I said it like on the air in front of millions of people, like, he's dead. I see him. There's no way he could come back, because I really thought there's no way that people could watch him and then say that, oh, that's somebody who's ready to be president, because, or even consider the fact that he'll be in his 80s for most of his terms if he ends up serving too. So that you're not getting even this version, you're getting a worse version. I thought he was done. Like, no one would actually really consider him. And they would consider maybe a Klobuchar or somebody else, but no, somehow he pulled this thing out because everybody else cleared the lane for him, and then it was him against a socialist, and even he could beat a socialist.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a second. That's the other topic I wanted to talk about. The collapse of Bernie, I'm not sure is an actual collapse of Bernie. I think it retroactively lets people realize how wildly unpopular Hillary Clinton was, even among Democrats. That, because Bernie's, in Michigan, he pulled about the same numbers he got that he beat Hillary with. But Biden pulled about 250,000 voters more than Hillary Clinton did, which means there were at least 250,000 Democrats who couldn't be bothered to vote for Hillary, couldn't bring themselves to vote for Hillary last time. And I think that's pretty common across the thread. So retroactively, it's giving new light to the 2016 election and the primary in particular. But Biden isn't inspirational. And that's the weird thing, is those 250,000 people collectively decided, I think, to settle. I don't think they just said, I can't wait to vote for Joe Biden. Finally, I get the chance to vote for Joe Biden. because he is, as you're right, he's going to be older than Ronald Reagan was when Reagan left office, when he enters office, if he wins. So can that sustain, do you think, A, through the debate Sunday, if that actually ends up going off, and through the general election against a candidate? Is not being the other guy enough reason and enough motivation to win an election?
If you asked me this a month ago before coronavirus was really, really a thing, then I'd say no, he has no shot of winning. There's no shot that he could beat, and I mean against Donald Trump in a general election, because then the whole wild card here is what happens to the economy, right? And I think it's pretty reasonable to say that we're probably going to go into a recession, right? I mean, these types of things are going to take a long time to recover from. And then I don't remember an incumbent ever winning while faced with a recession. Carter, recession. George H.W. Bush, recession. It was the last two presidents that lost after one term. Everybody else had a decent economy or a very strong economy. And that was Trump's number one play. That, like, you may not even like me, but hey, 401k is doing well. You're securing your job. Your wages are up. You work in construction. You have a lot of jobs to choose from there. It's peace. It's prosperity. Yeah. You know, I tweet too much and I do these things you may not like, but you don't want to elect Biden, who clearly is in cognitive decline, who's going to raise your taxes. The last guy who ran on raising taxes was Mondale, and he won one state. So it was just such an easy thing for Trump. Now, if he has a bad economy, he loses that argument. And if he loses that argument and coronavirus, you know, ends up wreaking a lot of havoc on this country, he'll be blamed for it, rightly or wrongly. And that'll be the ball game. So I can't answer the question now because I don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, 6 months from now.
True enough. How much of a factor is the media sort of coalescing around Joe Biden against Bernie Sanders, do you think? Because you've got the human potato over there at CNN, Brian Stelter, who I don't know how many panels he had and how many experts, quote unquote, experts he had on talking about Donald Trump's mental state and whether or not we should consider removing him from office, or the cabinet should consider removing him from office because he's unfit. He's doing last Sunday. It was how Fox News is just talking about Joe Biden's mental state and creating this thing out of whole cloth while there's hours of video of Joe Biden confusing the Declaration with the Constitution, confusing, not being able to complete one of the most famous lines ever written in all of human history about we hold these truths to be self-evident and all that other stuff. What role do you – I know I can't talk about Brian Stelter without laughing, because in the next room is my kid with a Mr. Potato Head on top of it all. But you have this situation where they are literally – pretending that up is sideways in order to protect this man. The emperor has to have no clothes at some point, does he not?
I mean, when he said that, and I'm talking about Biden, you know, I'm Joe Biden, I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and if you don't like this Biden, vote for the other Biden. That's not like a little gaffe. That's weird stuff.
Most people screw up all the time, but you catch yourselves. Maybe I'll call you Frank and go, I mean, Joe, you catch it. You know it. You hear it when you say it. Joe doesn't do that. That's what makes me think there's really something wrong there.
Chris Wallace is Chuck, right? 150 million people killed by gun violence since 2007. And I'm sure if somebody wanted to, they could watch this and then give me some montage of, you know, gaffes that Trump has made. You wouldn't be able to find even a fraction compared to what Biden does on a daily, on an hourly basis, which is why his last couple of stump speeches have been 7 minutes long. You know, I did 8 minute dating. How could that be one more minute than the actual stump speech for a guy who wants to be president? So in regards to Brian Stelter, I guess he just thinks that, again, no one's going to fact check this stuff. And look at the fact that he put on a psychiatrist just a couple months ago that said that President Trump had killed more people in this country than Hitler, Mao and Stalin combined, which is something like 100 million people.
Right.
And then just shook there like a bobblehead and just kind of accepted it until
he
was called out on it.
He said he had technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties at that exact moment. And apparently the producer in the control room also had one, because didn't get in his ear to say, well, why are you doing that? So, yeah, it insults your intelligence. And I stopped taking Brian seriously a long time ago, which is why I don't really write about him. I don't even follow him on Twitter. It's just he is every bit as much the Alex Jones of media reporting than anybody who puts out conspiracy theories. Like 3 days after President Trump was elected, said that there were hundreds of swastikas being found around the country when no news organization was reporting this. I mean, it's really quite remarkable. When he did that whole thing where's Melania after she had, you know, kidney surgery, and he did a whole segment on it asking, it's a fair question to ask where the first lady is, when a CNBC reporter just saw her at the White House 3 days before that. So yeah, he's just like every other, you know, rabid opinion person. He's not an objective person, and I'm making the most obvious statements in the world, and it's really not worth my time, quite frankly.
It's true. I don't follow him either, but he shows up in my timeline because he is a favorite punching bag of so many people, because he really does make it very, very easy to do. Now, looking at both of these topics that we've discussed here, with the election coming up, with coronavirus, with Joe Biden's presumptive nomination, what power does the media still have? Do they have the power to elect a president? They clearly have the power to incite a run on toilet paper, to incite a run on canned goods, and to instill fear. But that's life and death. Whereas, Lord knows, they tried in the past. They favored Hillary Clinton like you wouldn't believe, and it didn't work out. So it's going to be the two worlds colliding, the political world and the emotional fear world that they're very good at instilling. Which one's going to win? How do you see that playing out?
Derek, my favorite stat of the 2016 election, 3 days before that election, The Hill compiles all the endorsements made throughout the country of all the major newspapers, 59 of them. 57 endorsements went to Hillary Clinton, 2 went to Donald Trump. That got her a concession speech and a set of steak knives. In other words, it's just like all these papers say, vote for Hillary, and everybody said, yeah, screw you. You know, they went the other way, at least electorally. So does the media have the ability? They have the ability, I think, to kind of get you to a nominee. We saw it with Trump, right? He had overwhelming media attention, right? And all the other guys there, Rubio and Cruz and Kasich, they had no shot because no one was paying attention to them. But then once you get to a general election, I don't think that influence is there. So while they have propped up Biden absolutely against Bernie, right, and no one on MSNBC or CNN was rooting for Bernie, which is kind of ironic on some level. And you see Carville on MSNBC like every other minute saying it's going to be the end of days and the apocalypse if we end up with a Bernie Sanders. And maybe that worked to a certain extent because you're only talking to a certain base. But on a general election, no, I think it's so, our media is so mistrusted and everybody knows, you know, the jig is up. 2016, Hillary Clinton, this is a USA Today poll, they're just coming into my head, by a 10-to-1 margin, voters said they thought the media was rooting for Hillary Clinton, including a majority of Hillary voters even said, yeah, of course we know that they're on our side. So I don't think they can really influence anything. I think people are so ensconced in terms of the way they get information, what they believe, what they don't believe, to go back to the coronavirus conversation we were having, that they make their own decisions and they don't watch a Rachel Maddow and say, hey, you know, she makes a good point, or even the evening news and say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. People know where to get information, I guess, to kind of, what's the words I'm looking for here, cement their own beliefs and things they already believe. And that's the way it kind of goes now. You play to a crowd and that's that.
Did you just have a senior moment like Joe Biden?
I almost did. Yeah. I was looking,
but you pulled it up.
I have the right saying there. You probably have it where you're verifying one's own beliefs, but it's more elegant than that. I don't know. I'll look it up.
Then fix it in post. Okay. Let me ask you at the end, Joe, two quick questions. Where do you go? If people out there are hungry for news without all the bullshit, where do you recommend they go? It be a reporter, be an organization? And two, what stories are we missing under the radar because of all the every sporting event being canceled and the Democratic primary? The virus and the primaries have wiped clean everything else in the world. As somebody who follows and consumes media for a living, what are we missing?
I had an answer for this up until about 2 months ago or 3 months ago, as far as where you go if you just want to get straight news and not a lot of opinion, and the reporting's pretty good. And that was Bloomberg News, believe it or not, right? You ever hear about Bloomberg being overwhelmingly biased or they got this story wrong? No, I found it to be vanilla and boring, but I don't mind that. BBC, I guess, if I want to get international news, Reuters to a certain extent. But it's hard to go there per se. They're more, right. they're
centrillion stories on Reuters website.
Yeah, they're wires, right? Everything. So, but Bloomberg I thought was good. And then Bloomberg runs for president. And then they say, we'll accept opposition research on Donald Trump, but any of the Democratic candidates, including the guy that owns this place, we're not going to report on. I'm like, crap. You just ruined my whole little argument around like where to go for straight news without any bullshit. Stories were missing because of coronavirus. I think what we talked about before, the number of people that are recovering from this, I think the number of people who are impacted in terms of fatalities, you brought it up before, right? It's almost all in Washington State. It's always a little tag, but it's not the main focus. So I would just hope that we just educate people more on what to do, how to handle it. And, and I don't really see any stories like, okay, what's the finish line look like? If this is a flu, and flu season ends late April or early May, does that mean this thing goes away with it? I don't know. Those are things I'd like to hear about more. And I can look for it and I can find it, but it's not the same thing as if I see like a good 60 Minutes report on it. And that would be nice. So
a good 60 Minutes report is hard to come by. I'd like to know why Africa, the whole continent, has like 3 cases. And maybe it is. I suspect it is because of the difference in the weather and the fact that we have a flu season and they don't really have much of a winter. Could be wrong. Once we start going outside, I'm going golfing later today. So I'm doing my part to fight coronavirus. I don't want to call myself a hero. I'll leave that to others. But yeah, I'm a hero. Anyway, I'll let you get back to your regular life. Joe Concha in the Micah Ruzzioni studios up in New Jersey, USA. I believe in miracles. TheHill.com is where you go for him. And I appreciate you guys listening, watching, and telling a friend. We'll be back here on Monday. Have a great weekend.
I mean, have these people no sense of decency?